the works of Satan and redemption of man, or redemption of mankind. Last week when I spoke, I did tell you about the fact that God has thought of you. God is thinking of you. Because you are in the thoughts and the minds of God, that means your stories and the things about you are before Him. And therefore, the things that you think God doesn't know, or the things that you are worried about, you are praying about, you are crying about, and you think, oh God, I'm in this all alone. I just want you to know that God has thought about you, and God is listening to you, and this God is interested in you. He's interested in making sure that the very things that worries you, He can help you out. He's making sure the very opportunities that you have to progress, He's going to help you to do well and do better. God is interested in your children. God is interested in your home, your job, your money, everything God is interested in. And that is the truth of God. Because truth is eternal. That means truth cannot be submerged. Truth cannot be twisted. Whatever way you do it, truth will always come out. And this is the truth of God. Truth is eternal. The Bible says your word is truth. And therefore today, I'm here to let you know that because God thought about us and God has amazing plans for human beings, for you and me, for mankind. I'm just using it in plural. And because God has that for us, you know what? The enemy does not want you to have that. And he will do everything to twist the ways of God and to twist the plans of God and to confuse your destiny and to take you out of your destiny and the pathway to God so that you achieve the best that you can. So we will start by reading from Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah, the book of the prophet Isaiah from the Old Testament, chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. Verse 12 to 15. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Unless otherwise I tell you, it is going to be from this version. It says that, how are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer? So Lucifer means somebody who lies. How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Hallelujah. See, Lucifer, the liar, the deceiver, the opponent, that means somebody who opposes you, somebody who deceives and lies to you, somebody who doesn't want you to progress in life. He was an angel of God, and we learned in Revelation that because of rebellion, he didn't want to submit to God. He had to be cast down to the earth. And when he was cast down, literally, he went about to weaken the nations. Note that his role is to go and weaken the nation. Wherever you come from, which nation you come from, whichever background you come from, is to make you weak. And because he has said in his heart that I will ascend to the heavens, exalt myself, lift myself above the stars, and I will sit on the mount of the congregation. So even in the church, the enemy can come and infiltrate the church. He does that. And sometimes you can see that some churches are messed up, and some churches are fighting all the time among themselves, and some churches are just dead, and others are just full of lies and deceit. Of course, there are many churches that are good, but the enemy said, I will ascend above the clouds, and I'll be like God, the Most High God. But God said, but I will bring you down to the lowest depths of the pit. You see, this hasn't happened yet. This will happen at the end of the age. You see, this last bit, God will bring him to the lowest depths of the pit. That means God will put him to the grave, and death which is the power of the enemy, will be quashed and destroyed forever, so there will be no more death, there will be no more pain, there will be no more Satan or powers of darkness or evil to disturb us. So what is Satan's intent anyway and purpose in this world? Satan's primary purpose is to ascend to the throne of God, to be the Lord of all things, and to determine the purpose and destiny of man and the whole universe. This means anything that God has put in our hands, in your hand and my hands, Satan wants us to lose it forever. That is his plan. So from the beginning of creation, we see Satan, who is a powerful fallen angel, and his vast array of unclean spirit, know that word. We'll pick that word next week, because this is a message I'm doing in two parts, so I will not rush it, and next week I'll conclude. So this fallen angel with his vast array of unclean spirits has been fighting God to take over heaven and rule in his place. Remember that only God is eternal, and all opposition will eventually be destroyed. That is what the prophet Isaiah was saying. Many years before even Christ was born. And we know the story of creation, that when God created Adam, or man, or mankind, to take over the rule of this world, as recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, from there on, man and the universe came under attack and came to be at the mercy of Satan and his fallen angels. From the time that you and me were born, we were under attack. Remember last week I was telling about God's predestination, what God has already put in place, and foreknowledge, what God will do for us when we come. The enemy saw that, and he brought us under attack, because the reading in Genesis 1:26 and 28 tells us that God gave us authority, control over all the works of his hands, and for us to have dominion, to have authority, to have power, to have control, creating powers. God gave it all to us, for us to be in that place. That is why you can see that man has the ability to invent things. Man has the ability to sometimes do the impossible, because God has made it so. The devil saw that if he took Adam and Eve's authority, or man's authority from them in one big sweep, in tempting them to disobey God by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and bad, then all power and authority hereon will pass to the hands of the enemy. From that time, man became powerless. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin literally abdicated the power that God gave to man and gave it to the enemy. So each time you and me disobey God, we sin, whatever it is, in whichever way you look at it, small, big, whatever it is, we abdicate that authority, that dominion, that power, and we give it to enemy. And we become powerless. We become powerless against sin. So we struggle to overcome that. We become powerless against lies. We become powerless against hatred. We become powerless against pain, sicknesses, suffering, sorrow, poverty, and death. You see all these things. You see how it wasn't there before. But you see how we become powerless, because we had the power. We had authority. And the enemy deceived man. And as soon as he did that, we pass it on to him. So today, you and me, we struggle to overcome sin. We struggle to stop lying. We struggle to not hate people. We struggle to come in over pain. I can't stand pain. I hate it. We struggle against sicknesses. We struggle against suffering, sorrow, poverty, and death is the ultimate goal of the enemy. It makes you powerless, motionless, nothingness. That is the enemy's intent and purpose. As I said, I'm developing this message to finish next week, so be patient with me. But I just want you to see what we have given away as a result of disobedience, and what we have passed on to the enemy. And when we pass it on to the enemy, look at what he gave it back in place of that. So much for friends, right? You gave him power and authority, and then he gives you all these things: lies, hatred, pain, sickness, suffering, sorrow, poverty, and death. That's a good reward, right? You can see that the enemy is up to nothing good. He does not like you. So, when we get Adam, when our fathers disobeyed him, and when you, whenever you disobey him, and you give the legal right for the enemy to invade and come into your life and come into your family, this is the influence that the enemy had. And when he came in, look at that. So we are going to talk about the Satan's influence over the world right now. So when Satan, when they gave the power to the enemy, Satan therefore took over man's authority of ruling the world. So he, Satan, will rule as an evil king instead of man. Satan then unleashed his vast array of unclean spirits to roam about the earth, to wreak havoc on man and this world. Because when God said have dominion, we are talking about kingdom. So God made us kings, priests and kings of God. But then when you gave that authority to him, then he became an evil king. And he wreaked havoc. And we'll look at some right now. This evil work is still happening in the nations of this world, either through very powerful kingdoms and earthly rulers who he empowers. Satan empowers them to break up the nations and the will of the people. And he ruled them with fear and oppression. So some become despots, some become tyrants, and they hold on to power at all costs. I know one country that the leader has been there for 35 years. I'm thinking, how long do you, one person want to rule a nation? And there are so many millions of people in the nation who could also rule a nation. Despots don't want to, and tyrants rule with fear. Most of these rulers that Satan empowers are usually insignificant people. Normally, they are not great people at all. They're nobodies, insignificant people, whom the devil promotes as evil world leaders with the power to destroy much of the world order. That means they are there to destroy God's order, God's kingdom, God's plan for the world and for you and me. This is the spirit of Antichrist. This spirit thrives on lies and deception. He will even make you hear things that has not been said. He misrepresented things to you. And if you are living in disobedience, the only voice that you hear is that. It's the voice of the devil. Even when you are living righteously, he will do the best that he could to twist things so that you can believe in deceptions and lies. That is what the Antichrist thrives on. Now let me give you some examples of what the enemy gave back when he took over the world and he decided, I'm going to influence the world. Let's look at communism prevailed on hatred. Communism prevailed on envy and ending wars and advocated poverty in many parts of the world. One of the things that the enemy gave us was communism. Hatred became normal in states like that. Envy. If you have a car, you shouldn't have. If you have a house, you shouldn't have. Everybody should be poor. And only the empowered leaders become very wealthy. They thrive on wars and advocated that everybody should be poor. Now let's look at a man called Pol Pot. In case if you don't know him, he was the leader of Cambodia. He unleashed killing fields in Cambodia where many people were killed because they opposed the system of government being introduced in that place. So you can see that the enemy doesn't give anything good in return. Even people who get into occultism and spiritism and palm reading and astral travel and all those things, the enemy promised you good things to start with and promise you power, but soon he said that I want your life. Then he want to kill you. You cross him once and he want to kill you. And you can see in that inhuman behavior. They will promise you power. As long as you bow to them, they will do that. But when you get to a point, you cross them once, you are in trouble. Let's look at a system of apartheid in South Africa. These are the things that the enemy gave us back after we have surrendered our authority and power to him. What did he give back to this world? So that in South Africa, he brought back suppression, alienation, and alienating a whole community and disenfranchise them from for generations. That is what he did. What else? Two more things and I'll leave you there. Some of our fathers, when I talk about fathers, I'm in England, I'm in United Kingdom, and I see this as my country. Some of our fathers, aided by some corrupt ethnic chiefs and leaders, engage in the evil practices of self-preservation, survival, and profiteering on the back of fellow human beings, which we call slave trade, and subsequent slavery to subjugate, to suppress, keep uneducated, hate, eventually promote the false doctrine of supremacy of one race over the other. That is what the enemy gave us. We shouldn't be happy with that at all. You see what we have surrendered and what we got back? I'm an educated person, so I know what I'm talking about. See, the spirit of Antichrist also shows itself strongly in jealousy. The love of money, love of power, economic and military domination, which has prevailed in the world for centuries and in the recent past through Hitler in Europe. And this current reality is typified by the role and influence of China in the world. I make no excuse. I'm just trying to tell you the devil is behind these things. And I want to open your eyes to see. The Antichrist is ungodly, works against the order of God here on earth, does its own thing, manifests itself in secularization. You see, secularization is a system. You see, it's a system of vigorously promoting the doctrine of demons. Secularization is something that just don't want God. But it doesn't come in your face. It does it bit by bit by bit by bit. When I was growing up, you can go to primary school or nursery and you know that you recite the Lord's Prayer, you pray in the beginning in assembly, and you finish with it. You bring God into the situation. You bring God into your schools. You bring God into your home. When I was about 6 years old, I knew 1 Corinthians by heart. I knew the Lord's Prayer by heart. I knew Psalm 23 by heart, and many more. You ask how many adults know this. The enemy started chiseling these things away, little by little by little. And today, even when you dare to open your mouth and you're a teacher, and if it's not a religious studies and you talk about it, you go to prison. This is how bad it is. So I want you to know that the enemy is now ruling the world. Don't make no mistake. Don't let any bad theology tell you otherwise. Hallelujah. The Antichrist is ungodly. And I said, sometimes we promote these doctrines of demons under the guise of human rights or even hide behind science and enlightenment to promote a system of unbelief. Right? That is the enemy's strategy. He is Antichrist. These are all rebellious practices of humans against God. Let's do some reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. 1 to 3. It says, now the Spirit expressly said that in latter times, that is the time that you and me are in right now, some will depart from the faith. How many Christians that you knew who were once literally could pray for, heaven to come down, that these days you don't see them praying anymore? How many people were so excited about God gave their life to Christ that this day they don't do it anymore? Think about it. I want you to know that the enemy is like this. Because in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Deceiving spirits, who are they? It's Satan and his cohort of unclean spirits. We call them demons, call them witchcraft, call them whatever you want. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy. They speak lies. The enemy lies a lot. And he's managed to get people to believe him. And sometimes the enemy manifests itself in persons who become powerful leaders. Cast your mind not too far away from what is going on in the world. Stop the steal. That is what the enemy was teaching me. When the truth is there, the enemy says, this is the lie. I'm not an American, so I mean, I can't say much into their politics. But as I said, I'm an educated person, so I understand a few things. So what this is what the enemy does, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with hot iron, forbidden to marry these days. Even the definition of marriage had to be changed. So if you dare to say that, look, somebody and somebody cannot be married, you are going to go into prison. And commanding to abstain from certain foods which God created and to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. The enemy with his host of evil angels rule and infiltrated even the church, the congregation, as I said earlier on, with compromising spirits and doctrines, which the Bible refers to as the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of Nicolaitans. These are doctrines of lies, putting stumbling blocks in the ways of the people of God. And people who are unbelievers who want to come to God, the enemy will put stumbling block before them. Oh, don't go to church. Church is for certain people. Don't go to church because this church is filled with certain crazy guys. That is the enemy's problem. He perpetuates this to man. These are doctrines of lies, putting stumbling blocks in the ways of people. He brings idolatry. Idolatry means that they worship other things other than God. Certain things are more important to them than God. Committing sexual immorality, permissive activities, which we call political correctness, knowing what to do but intentionally refusing to do what is right. God says he hates these things and we should repent. Hallelujah. If you've heard it, give me thumbs up. Hallelujah. It doesn't bother me if you haven't heard it, because we have ears. So you're hearing it because the enemy wants to sear our conscience. But I'm telling the truth and you can't debate it, because I can debate you until the kingdom come and you'll be wrong and I'll be right, because truth is eternal. God said he hates these things and we should repent. Let's read from Revelation chapter 2 verse 14 to 16. It says, but I have a few things against you. Even though you say you are Christian, even though you say you go to church, even though you say that you are living in this world and you haven't done it all, I mean, not only, I'm not perfect, nobody is perfect. These are the excuses that sinners make. Nobody is perfect, nobody is perfect. That means they are sinning. That means they are disobeying God. That means they are doing something wrong. And they know that. And they are making excuses for themselves. Say, but I have a few things against you, even if you think you are perfect. Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam and who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality, that you also have those who hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That means the word of God is going to come at you, and that is exactly what is coming to you right now. You see, and you can refer to Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. It talks about the teachings of Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. That means a spokesperson. So how many people become spokesperson, experts, professors of foolish things in this world to corrupt society and our children? Our children are being corrupted in the school. They are being corrupted on the internet. They are being corrupted all over the place because they are bound down to the spirit of Jezebel, who is the prophet and spokesperson of corrupt practices. No wonder Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul call Satan the god of this world and this age, who has totally blinded people so that they will not believe in Jesus. Take a reference from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. In case you miss the reference, go to your chat box. It's all there for you to pick it up, so that you can pick it up. So, what can I say? Jesus is God incarnate to save man. That means Jesus is God, had to be, come man. You see, because man has given everything, and in return, he didn't get any good deal from that transaction. The transaction, the return transaction that man got was a bad deal. And man, whom God has invested so much in, you who God has invested so much of himself in his image and his character and his beauty, his love and everything. Today is what, Valentine's Day. We are, showing you so much love. We are expressing who God is. 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love, beloved. God is love. Anyone who has no love does not come from God. And that person's father is the devil. You read 1 John chapter 4 for yourself. You see it all there. It's not me just saying it. The Bible is saying that. You see, so today wasn't invented by the Greek gods or the amazing Western culture or some alien culture. It is God's nature that man is expressing. So Jesus Christ, who is God, was incarnated and became man. He had to come to that level to be man for us to get back, to buy back, to redeem us. That is what we call redemption. So that whatever has been taken away, he will bring it back. It's just like you have your lovely, maybe, artifacts, right? It's been sitting down for a long time, and all that it needed is for you to pick it up, brush it, and polish it, and to look as good as it was before. That is redemption. Or maybe somebody has come to sell the family treasure, and somebody has bought it in an antique roadshow, and then you realize the value of it, and then you have some money, and you go and buy it back. And now it's sitting on there, and then you remember your grandparents or your parents who dashed those things to you and say, wow, thank you, Father, thank you, Mother. That is redemption. And what God gave to us, that man gave our Jesus, says, I'm going to get it back for you. That's what redemption is about. So Jesus saw that the devil had eventually taken all the kingdoms of the world, which consist of living individuals, you and me, and rule with an evil hand, despite remaining invisible most of the time. You see, the devil doesn't show his face, you know. He doesn't come with a broomstick and a sword and a spear and with a tail and with some red clothes on. He doesn't come that way. If you have that perception of about the devil, then you probably are missing something big time, because when he's hitting you, you won't know, because you'll be expecting that and he will never show up that way. He will show up subtly, unseen, break your relationships, make it hard for you in your home, take your money away, grieve your heart, take your loved ones away through death, take your jobs away, give you sicknesses, illnesses, demonic oppression. That is how he comes in. He is unseen, and he will rule that world in that way, still remaining invisible most of the time. Satan does his controlling through people whom he manipulates. And only occasionally show himself. That is why God gave us the spirit of discernment. So we see into the spirit world to know the activities of Satan and the works of the evil one. Take a reference from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Say, God has given to some spirit of discerning of spirit. You see, why did he say descending of spirit? Because you need to see into the supernatural. You need to see the things that are unseen. So please note that the devil and his wicked and unclean spirit have all the attributes as man except a body. Yeah? They have all the attributes of man or humans, but except a body. They each have a particular ability to cause man to feather the devil's fight, to regain complete control of man and his heaven. And the heavens. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'm reading from the Living Bible translation. It says, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. I told you, he's a person, but will not show his body. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world or in the heavenly places. So the fight that we are fighting is not carnal. You are not being fought by somebody you can see. The enemy is unseen, and he will mess you up. He will bring unbelief and everything before you. Persons without bodies. Wow. Eventually, God decided to regain his creation through sending Jesus Christ, to demonstrate his power, to demonstrate his might, to demonstrate his wisdom, to teach us God's ways and ultimately died for us on the cross. Hallelujah. That is what Jesus Christ did. When you read 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 from the Living Bible version again, it says that God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into this wicked world to bring us to eternal life through his death. In this act, that is what he did on the cross, in this act we see what real love is. It is not our love for God, but his love for us when he sent his son to satisfy God's anger against our sin. So it's not because you decided to love God. It's because God decided that I want to love you so that the anger that I have against sin that the enemy has brought to destroy you, I want to show you love. So today, if it is Valentine's Day, I just want you to know that God says, I love you. I love you. I want to show you my love. I want to show you my love. And the verse coming to my head, that is John chapter 15, verse 13. The Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 13. He said, a greater love has no man than this, than one who lay down his love, his life for his friends. God wants to lay down his life for his friends. You are called a friend of God. My brother, my sister, today God says that you are my friend. I love you and I'm I love you to the extent that I will die for you. I will lay my life for you. I am ready for that. That is what God is saying. So God wants you and me back. And he is relentlessly pursuing us for a relationship. So he will put back into our hands that which was lost to Satan. And to redeem, to buy us back the wasted years for you. You see, the enemy wants to waste your life. He wants to waste your years. He wants to waste your plans. He wants to get you in a merry-go-round and run and run. You're making progress and something coming and it just strike you back and you are there. He wants to contain you. But we are not going to be contained. In the name of Jesus, tell yourself, I am not going to be contained. In the name of Jesus, say it again. I am not going to be contained. In the name of Jesus. Because that is what Satan wants to do. He wants to contain you. He wants to hold you back. He wants to even hold your prosperity back. The money that you have put there that you are hoping that is going to do some miracles for you. Somehow something goes wrong and it's gone. He wants to contain. These are containment activities of the enemy. But Jesus says, I want to buy you back. Those wasted years, those time that you are holding, from holding at a marking time, he want to make sure which instead of making some progress, you are marking time. So he want to buy those years back. But the choice is yours if you want this free gift of God. If you want this free gift of God, then God said the choice is yours. If you want him to give it to you, he will. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 from New King James Version. And they, meaning Adam and Eve, all mankind, individual, put your name there. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That means the evening. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So today I call you Adam, human, whatever your name is. The question is, where are you in your relationship with God? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ today? Where are you, Adam? Adam and Eve bowed to the deceit and the lies of the enemy and walked away from the presence of the Lord to do their own thing. A life without God, a life without, without God, and a life without God, and a life which is based on your own priorities and cares, is a choice you made. Adam made that choice, and we, and most of us, made that choice, and for some, still making that choice of a life that puts us far from God. We make man, humans, as kings. Now, I would like to conclude this message with a personal reflection, because as I said, I would like to continue next week. But the personal reflection is a little bit about me. I've been church all my life, serving the altar since I was 6 years old. I was a 6 year old boy. I gave my life to Jesus Christ in the early teens of my life. And I preached the good news of God up to this day. I'm preaching to you. I've also been a pastor since my youth, from establishing house churches to youth fellowships in London, Waterloo, Lion Square, Angel, Archway areas, and then being a pastor in South Street Baptist Church here in Greenwich. I've also had a formal biblical education in Spurgeon's College and a few other seminaries and in Ictus Christian Fellowship disciplines. I've preached and traveled to many countries of the world where I preached the goodness of the gospel of God. Yet it was not until the last 3 years and a bit that God visited me. And I heard his voice clearly. Gideon, where are you? Put your name there. Where are you? God today wants to visit you. After having done so much, after having stood in the church for so long and spoken the word of God so long, it was not until the last 3 and a bit years that God visited me and said, Gideon, where are you? And I said, here am I. I responded immediately because I understood that God wants an intimate relationship with me, so he will restore me to the same power that he originally gave to Adam and to the disciples, which is authority over sin, authority over redemption, the redemption of mankind, dominion over his creation, and authority over the works of the evil one. Today I can stand here and I said, I can cast out devils. If you are oppressed by the devil, I can cast it out, because God has restored my life. This came through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which has also been poured out over me to walk in the supernatural power of God and lead people to salvation, go about doing good, healing those who are sick and oppressed by the devil. For God has been with me and is with me, just like he said in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. So today, if you are looking at me in the face, have you heard the voice of God? How long do you want to continue God calling you, Adam, where are you? And you hiding behind the trees, hiding behind the things of this world, hiding behind the creative things, hiding behind the things that you cannot take to your grave, and thinking that that will save you. God wants to restore your life, to save your life, and to transform your life, and to give you the very best that you deserve. And today, I will ask you, have you thought about giving your life to Jesus Christ? Have you thought about, have you thought about giving your life to Jesus Christ? Have you thought about where you are in your relationship with God? Are you willing to repent, meaning to turn from what the direction you are going and come back to God and give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, or renew your relationship with Jesus Christ? Today, are you ready to respond to God so that you also walk in his presence and operate in the supernatural power of God? Shall we bow down our heads? A song is going to be played, and I want you to listen to that song whilst you pray and talk to God. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, man?